Hearst Ranch is a proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. Learn more about Hearst Ranch at HearstRanch.com.
Hey, this is Hannah, HRN's program manager. It's HRN's 10th anniversary and now our summer fun drive. So show your support for independent, revolutionary, entertaining food radio by becoming a monthly recurring donor. HRN is powered by a passionate community of thoughtful eaters, and we need each and every one of you to show your support so that we can keep bringing you your favorite food podcasts. It takes a village, and every dollar donated, every listener tuning in is essential to our continued success. So set up a donation for $10 every month. You'll show us that you want to be a part of a bright future for HRN. And you'll get one of our brand new limited edition Pizza Pocket t-shirts. So snag your new favorite tea and show us some love, all for the price of about two fancy lattes each month. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate today. And thank you.
My summer wines are really made of all these things.
What are you singing?
What am I singing very poorly? I'm mad that you don't know that song. It's Nancy Sinatra and Lee Hazelwood's Summer Wine about a woman that serves.
I know. Is Nancy the Boots song?
Yeah. She sings that song,
okay,
but she
I know
sings
that song.
A lot of other songs. And one of them is called Summer Wine, and it's with Lee Hazelwood, and it's really, really good. And it's about her serving wine, like her summer wines, to this dude. It's a duet, and the dude gets hammered, and then she fucking robs him. But he was like,
oh, that sounds great. I love that.
Yeah, but then he's like, dude, the summer wine was so good.
It didn't even matter. And the reason why we're doing this is welcome to the Summer Wine podcast episode.
Yeah.
Episode podcast about summer wine. We're doing an episode about summer wines.
Yes, we're doing an episode about summer wines because, you know, even though we live in Los Angeles and there kind of isn't really seasons here. I mean, there is this year, actually.
Our seasons are just less drastic.
Yes, totally. But we, you know, I think everyone who drinks wine, though, does associate wines with certain seasons. You know, it's like it makes you feel a certain way. It gives you a sort of vibe and it's good for certain activities, you know?
Yeah, my mom is French and in the town she lives in, Paris.
A little town called Paris.
A small town called Gay Paris. No, and people dress seasonally, not for weather. So like if it's fall, but it's still like 80 degrees, you see motherfuckers in like a scarf and a peacoat.
So it's because like Silver Lake.
I think it's also because like I think I was explained once that like people actually like switch out their wardrobe. So like they put their summer clothes away and they bring
totally.
Out. And so if it's hot, that's just what they've got. They don't have that other stuff.
That makes sense.
But yeah, so in Los Angeles, I think that we're less like that. You said Silver Lake, but I feel like we actually do things according to the weather.
Well, I think that people just. Wow, we're really rambling before we're ever getting anywhere on this. I was just saying that because, like, people that live in LA, it's hot all the time that we so desperately just want to wear a fucking coat.
That's
sometimes.
True. That's true.
Like, I'll wear, there's some coats I'm like, I don't care that it's 70 degrees. I'm wearing this fucking coat.
It makes the fit. Anyway.
One thing that we do have here in Los Angeles and that most people also have is summer. Getting
yes,
back on track.
And we have a lot of summer.
So
we're experts in summer.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much professionals.
Yeah.
People.
And so this is a podcast. Where we're going to review our favorite flip-flops.
Reefs for sure.
Havanana. What's it called?
Yeah. No. Okay. Wow.
Anyway. No. So we brought three wines out that we think can get you through any situation, any food, any
summer stuff.
Yeah. It's like, I think these are as essential as sunscreen and a beach ball.
And keep in mind, so we're going to be going over three different wines, and we will be covering the individual bottles, but we'll also be covering the style of the wine and why that style works in particular. So, you know, if you can't find these exact wines that we're drinking, don't worry about it. Like, just, you know.
Yeah, do you, we'll use descriptors where you can be like, stylistically, I'm looking for this. And that will work, hopefully. Yeah,
if you go to a wine shop.
Yeah.
Just be like, didn't you listen to the latest natural disasters? Anyways, all right. So
now on Heritage Radio.
Nick.
All
right, well, so let's get to drinking.
Yeah, awesome. My favorite part of the pod.
So first up, we have the Orange Puglia from Calcareous. Calcareous is a wine project between Valentina Passalacqua and Danilo Marcucci in Puglia, Italy.
Which is the southern part, the heel of the boot.
Yep.
And it is Falanghina is the grape, I believe, the variety.
Yes, and it's skin contact. So
it is skin contact. So it's got a beautiful amber orange color to it. It's almost got some pink in it, too. When you pour it into the glass, it's kind of, it looks peachy.
It's totally peachy.
It's more peachy than orange to me.
It looks like a peach Jolly Rancher.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyways, we chose this wine for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's a liter.
It's a fucking liter.
And you know what? We are very into liters in the summer because, you know.
I'm into liters. I mean, the more wine you give me, the happier I am.
Yeah, exactly. But not all wines that come in liters are made
That's
equally.
True. This wine is definitely liter worthy.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And then also, too, we chose it because, as Adam described it, in beer terms.
Yeah, it's a sessionable wine. So hypothetically, you're on vacation, right? And vacation means that you can drink anytime you want. There's no, like, hours for drinking.
No.
Right? Like, on vacation, if you drink at 8 in the morning, it's like, I'm on vacation.
Exactly.
So, like, this is one of those wines that if you had, like, I mean, 1 liter isn't going to get you through all day. But,
it might if you, like, aren't us.
Yeah, that's true. But, all right, so let's say you could open it and have it, like, late breakfast, early lunch, and continue drinking it throughout the course of that vacation day and get to dusk, dawn, and this wine will take you all the way through. Also, another thing I really love about this wine, it's not about this wine, but about this particular product, is it's a bottle cap. So you can open it anywhere. You don't need to bring a wine key with you. You can...
You just need a friend that has a lighter.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, I was taught at a really young age how to open beers on my car door.
Oh, wow.
So, like, you can do that or whatever. But, yeah, just as long as you can open it anywhere.
Let's not encourage people to be drinking and...
That's true.
And driving. But, like...
This is just that... That's, like, the
beach. You know, just make sure that it's parked... The car is parked before...
Yeah,
you know,
that's just,
that you're
like,
on
the
outside of the
that's
car.
It's, like, the West Coast. Not maybe not West Coast. That's, like, the West Side growing
like
up
surfer.
On the beach.
No,
yeah.
Exactly. I was about to say, that's like it's a surfer move for sure. I'm just trying to be like a really good role model. So anyways, let's go over this wine.
So going back to how peachy this wine looked.
Yeah, it looks super, super peachy. And on the nose, it's pretty light on the nose, but it has like a really nice fuzzy citrus vibe.
It's got a classic also, Falanghina flinty smokiness. God, that is such a som thing that I'm doing, and I hate that I do that, but it's
helpful though, like for people that aren't tasting this with us right now.
That's true. No, but it's definitely varietally correct.
Ooh.
It smells like Falanghina.
That's interesting to me because me not knowing anything about anything, I wouldn't know if it was varietally correct, but yeah, I mean, it smells great. It smells like really inviting. It's really light. It's someone that isn't like, not that I'm not a fan of any, I don't want to say that I'm not a fan of highly aromatic white wines, but sometimes they can be off-putting, especially in the summer when it's like, it's very likely your glass is going to get warm really quick.
Yeah, totally.
And then sometimes it's like so overwhelming when your nose.
You're just drinking perfume.
Yeah, exactly. It gets too much. I really like the fact that this has a lighter nose because it makes me feel like as it warms up, it is going to become more aromatic, but not in an overwhelming way.
And it's inevitable that your wine is going to warm up if you're drinking it all day.
Yeah. And also heads up, like if a white wine or a skin contact wine or even a rosé doesn't taste better, like at room temp, then it's not a good wine.
Yeah, that's true.
Or not better, but like if it doesn't taste good.
If it's getting worse and worse. If it's like that Bud Light that you have.
Yeah.
It's and like every sip, it gets worse and worse. And then finally that
wine.
Last sip, you're like, ugh, this is so fucking awful.
That's not a good wine.
No. You're drinking Bud Light.
Exactly. Let's go over how it tastes.
Yeah.
I really like this because it's super light and like acidic on the front palate. And just for those of you guys that are like, what the fuck are you talking about? When we're talking about like the palate, there's a front palate, mid palate, back palate. So just think about your tongue and cut it in thirds horizontally. So it's like the front you know, is like the front of your tongue, like the tip of your tongue. And then the middle part is the middle. And then the back is the back.
It's really good. You did a really good job there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever. You never know. I mean, this is, it's radio, everyone.
I know. That's true. That's true.
But anyways, I really love that the front of it is really, it's acidic and light. Not overwhelmingly so.
Yeah, it's just, like licking a battery.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Like, you ever lick a 9-volt?
No.
No. I think we've had this conversation before. I feel like this is...
I just feel like you've done a bunch of dumb boy stuff.
I feel like this sounds like pod canon. I feel like we've talked about this before. But anyway.
Anyways, okay. I haven't looked at 9-volt, but anyways, it's acidic on the front, but it has like really great tannic structure on the back.
Yeah, this is what makes this wine such a great all-day drinker, is that you can, like, eggs and bacon or you know, an omelet or whatever, and then like move into a cheeseburger and then move into like
another cheeseburger,
the second cheeseburger, and then possibly a hot dog or grilled chicken or
also,
grilled seafood.
Yeah. Also too, this definitely is a wine that you could do for all the veggie lovers out there.
Absolutely.
This
absolutely.
Is like a really great, like, I think of, you know, those summer kind of salads with this, you know, the ones that have like bits of like, you know, clementine or like watermelon.
Fuck yeah, I know exactly what
you're
talking
about. Those summer salads that have feta on them.
And they always have, I feel like they also have like some sort of seed, whether it's like a sunflower seed pine nuts or.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's really, it is super sessionable. Like, it's not an overly complex wine. It really is just delicious and easygoing.
No, and I wouldn't be offended personally. But I don't get offended by a lot, but I don't feel like anyone really should get offended if you pour this in a solo cup, and fuck it. If you threw an ice cube or two in there to keep it ice cold, I think it's totally okay. In excess, you're like, fuck you. I'm drinking fucking dope wine and I'm drinking it out of a solo. I'm drinking 11 ounces of it out of a solo cup. And I threw a couple ice cubes in there and it's great.
Yeah. It's a super delicious wine. And I mean, the tannins are a little grippy on the back.
Yeah. I mean, it is a skin contact wine, right? It does have that.
It does have some grip, but that's what makes it one that makes you want to drink more of it. So that's also what makes it kind of.
And also when you go in for the barbecue chips or whatever.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, this would go so good with barbecue Lays.
Yeah.
Which are disgusting and so delicious.
I love barbecue Lays.
I know, me too. Like, they're delicious. But at 11% alcohol, like, you could be like, I feel like, oh my God, I kind of feel like this is the barbecue Lays, like, bag of barbecue Lays of wine. Like, you know, where you just want to like hang out by that bag and eat the entire fucking thing. And you're just like,
yeah, totally. You know, like the third day of like beach vacation for people. I'm only speaking this, I grew up near the beach, so like I'm very... I'm very beach-centric in my head.
Me too.
But like the smell of sunscreen and...
Oh, totally.
And like sandy clothes, like when you put on like a bathing suit from like the day after wearing it that's still sandy and a little damp.
A little crunchy, dude.
Yeah, it's salt.
Like there's certain parts of it that are crunchy.
Yeah, and you're just like, you never de-sand.
Never.
Like a lot of summer camp for me was at the beach.
Yeah.
And like just the whole summer, just like you never truly got sand out of your shoes.
No, you can't.
Out of your pockets.
You can't.
This wine takes me to there.
Totally. Totally. I agree. It reminds me, so my, I know this is probably hard for people that didn't grow up in California. Adam and I are both from
Los Angeles.
From out here. And my grandparents built a house in Malibu, not like a crazy mansion. It wasn't one of those sorts of situations, but I grew up, you know, spending my summers, with my grandparents. And this reminds me so much of, that sandiness. And then also too, like, California in particular has like this very like that, like, when you're driving through the canyons, like that brown dustiness.
Yeah, totally.
And I feel like that's so also indicative of Puglia, because it's like a super hot, part of Italy, and it's actually like very reminiscent of Southern California.
Yeah, it's like a Sergio Leone film.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, this isn't a spaghetti Western. This is a spaghetti surf safari.
Ooh, and
this
I mean,
spaghetti Beach Boys.
Dude, I love it. It's like beach blanket bingo, but like with.
There was with those were with the
beach
Italian
blanket bingo was, I know. Annette Funicello, one of my heroes, and Frankie Avalon.
Yeah, this is them.
Yeah, this is totally them. Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, so enjoy your beach blanket bingo Falanghina
totally.
All summer long. And you don't have to be at the beach, but you can pretend.
Yeah, totally. Oh my God, are you kidding me? Like, one of the reasons I love wine so much is like I can drink it and it transports me somewhere else. But the cool thing about, in general, skin contact white wines for summer is that they really can pair with, I think, vegetables and fruits really well. Like I was saying earlier, like those, you know, those fruity salads. And then also too, though, they can go with like chicken, like grilled chicken or grilled shrimp.
Grilled shrimp, I think, is like a, for
shrimp
some reason.
Shrimp on the barbie.
Yeah, a little bit on the shrimp on the barbie.
Wow, both of us are bad.
How bad is that too? Like all these Australians probably, I mean, we probably have thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands.
We have three.
Australian listeners right now who are like, these fucking, they're assholes.
Yeah, we're Americans.
Anyway, yeah, like a grill. I, for some reason, all I can think of is how much I want to crush deviled eggs and grilled shrimp. And
you
just,
you
this.
Literally have planned your entire day around this wine. Like, I love, well, your meals, but like orange Puglia and then other skin contact white wines, I just think do work really well in the summer. Also, because I think that they're really great. Introductory natural wines for people that are beer lovers.
Totally.
Like if you have a party and like, I know that like I used to, I don't know if it's still really a thing because I've converted all my friends. But like those guys or like women or whoever, you know, people, just people that are like
that person you went to college with.
Yeah. Or no, just, you know, people that are like, I love IPAs. Like, yeah. I only drink IPAs. Like I only drink this. Like I love beer. It's like, you can give someone that loves beer a skin contact white wine, and it has enough texture and acidity to it that they'll dig it.
On that note too, this wine also though, like if you have someone who is a little bit more conventional in their wine drinking and you pull this out for them and they pour it, like it's also not that wild that it's going to freak anybody out.
No, we have
another wine that is a little bit like...
Yeah, this is extremely... This particular bottle, going back off of skin contact in general, but this orange Puglia is extremely approachable.
Totally.
Really, really, really just a fun, as you said, sessionable wine. It's really so delightful.
We're both giving it two
thumbs up. And you know, if you can't find the orange Puglia at your local wine shop, I would say look for, you know, other lighter white wines that are made in skin contact style.
And don't go crazy on the bank account.
No, don't.
Get something that's in the sub, I mean, if you can get sub 20, amazing.
Well, and you know what? I'm just going to throw this in here. We don't have it, but I had it yesterday and it's like a $21 wine and it was awesome. It's not a liter, but it was it's Gearhead's Freak Show.
Oh yeah.
That wine is, you know, it's, mostly Marsanne and Roussanne, and then a little bit of Syrah and a little bit of Grenache. And the Roussanne and Marsanne are both skin contact. And it's just like grapefruit lemonade. It just goes down like crazy. And it's $21, you know, and it's super delicious. So, yeah. And
just
I would
go in and be like, yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, just go in and say, like, I'm looking for a lighter skin contact white, like something that's still sessionable despite being, you know, a little bit heartier than your regular old Pinot Grigio.
Yeah, totally. All right, on to the next wine.
Moving on to our second summer wine, we got Le Saut de l'Ange's Malolactic.
Which I believe translates roughly to like the idiot angel or the dumb angel or the stupid angel. But anyway, it's made by Quentin Bors, Quinton Bors
of Le Saut d'Ange
Bors from the Azay-le-Rideau in the Loire Valley.
Yep, and it's Grulot and Gamay.
Yeah, and it is also something unique that I am pointing out. I know we have one more wine coming up, all in clear glass.
Yes, all of them actually are in clear glass, which is
interesting. I don't know if there's any correlation, but
I have stuff to say on that, but I don't want to sidetrack us yet.
Yeah,
so maybe
we can talk about it later.
Yeah. So the reason we chose this is because it's a chilled red, bro.
It is a chilled red. It also has references to obliques and asterisks on the label. And I grew up, like I said earlier, my mom's French, so I grew up with, like, around obliques and asterisks. It's the name of the wine. Do we already do Malolactics with an X, like obliques and asterisks? So it just pulled me in immediately because it was like nostalgia for me immediately. I hate nostalgia, but anyway.
Oh, I love,
like,
nostalgia. I live
Oh,
on
man.
It.
Obliques and asterisks. I need to buy this wine. I need to drink this wine.
So yeah, so it's a chilled red. It says on here somewhere between 11 and 14% alcohol, but I'm pretty sure it's on the lower
yes,
end.
Yes, absolutely.
Of that. Looking at it in the glass, it is a really, really pretty, like
totally see-through.
Yeah, totally see-through, but like garnet.
Yeah.
Like a deep, deep garnet.
But I think you could even like read through this.
Well, let's see. I mean, overall, it's hard to read through liquid, but but yeah, you can see the words.
Yeah. If I jumped into a giant pool of this and I opened my eyes, I could.
I don't think
while
you could
I
see,
was
bud.
Screaming in pain.
Yeah.
And dying from alcohol poisoning.
Jesus, where are you?
I would be able to see.
I don't. Okay. Yeah. But still like a really pretty like garnet.
Yeah.
Like ruby sort of vibe, but more garnet because it's darker. Anyways, on the nose. On the nose, it like already smells like barbecue to me.
There's like a smokiness to it.
It's like smoky honey, like, you know, like one of those like sweeter
barbecue.
Yeah,
it smells like a fucking Lay's barbecue chip.
Yeah. Oh boy. The other one we wanted to pair with this wine, apparently. Yeah. It does smell like barbecue Lay's with like a hit of like orange zest.
Yeah.
And I guess there's red berries in there too. There are red berries in there for sure.
Somewhere.
There are, but I think that we just really want Lay's.
Yeah, I think we're just obsessed with Lay's.
No, but it's the nose is bright, red berry, yada, yada, runner.
Yeah, I don't mean this. I
didn't mean it like that.
No,
because like
I have a very similar thing I want to say. I hope that Quinton listening isn't, if you're listening, I don't know why I assumed you were. But I think the intention of this wine is fucking chuggable. And I think that the intention of this wine is...
Yeah.
Great, chuggable.
Chilled red, bro.
Yeah, and like, if someone sat down and tried to dissect this and try and be more serious about this, I would assume that the winemaker would be like, not the point.
Yeah, no, and I've had this wine, maybe a week or two ago. It's just a really fun wine. Like, it's another fun red wine. And that's what it should be. Like, the reason that we chose it was because it's a chilled red, and chilled reds, you know, to kind of go back to some other buzzwords, you know, it's glue. It's just like fun, but it does have a little bit more oomph to it. I feel like when you taste it, it has a little bit more oomph than a lot of glue. It's not just straight.
Yeah, no,
juice.
This is again going back. So I didn't realize that this was part of this narrative when we picked all this. But something about summer wines too, I'm noticing, is you also have to bring wines that will bring everybody in.
Totally. Totally.
And so these are wines that are not just we're going to enjoy, but everyone at the party or everyone at the barbecue or everyone at the beach or everyone at the park or
we'll
wherever
enjoy.
You are
yeah.
at the river or whatever you're doing. This is like every, don't laugh at rivers.
I'm not laughing at rivers. I'm laughing at the idea of the river, which is Southern California people. Like we know what the river is.
Oh, well, everyone has a the river, don't they?
Yeah, I guess. I'm talking about the... I don't even know what the actual name of the river. Why am I blanking on the actual name of the river?
I don't know.
Is it like the Grand Canyon River? Is
what?
In Arizona, where everyone goes and parties, like on like the Bud Light boat.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what it's like. Oh man, I was about to date my.
I love
like,
it.
You know where they used to film Girls Gone Wild?
Yeah, exactly.
Havasu.
I love that you know the exact region of where this wine and the Loire is made, and I'm like, I don't know the name of the river that everyone has gone to.
Not Lake Havasu is where like that
Lake
was
Havasu,
like, but
yeah.
That's a lake.
But Lake Havasu is connected.
There's
to
a river.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You go rivering. Anyway, yeah.
Anyways, people in the summer go there.
Yeah.
And they
and you could bring this wine.
You could bring this wine. I could bring this on. I'm gonna give a shout out. I could bring this on Lindsay O'Brien, who is a childhood friend of mine. She rents a Bud Light boat at Lake Havasu / the river every year for her birthday, every August. And it's like all of my bro friends from Upland, California. Shout out to Upland. I could bring this wine on there and
yeah,
like
totally.
People will be down.
You'd be down.
Down. Everyone be Ross testing. Everyone be chugging from the bottle. They'd be down while also drinking Bud Light.
People will be doing backflips off of the boat while like
totally.
Drinking it.
Totally. Yeah. It's delicious. And I mean, I really, so talking about the actual like taste of it.
Again, I don't want to be dismissive. It's fucking red wine.
But it's delicious. It's just like, it's absolutely, it's just chilled. Like it's delicious.
Yeah, it's like cranberry.
It's exactly what you want from a Grulot and Gamay. It's cranberry. It's blackberry. It's a little linear. But again, these are for having fun in your backyard.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, this is not
This is getting a little too drunk while you're watching your children.
That's something I can't relate to, but although I can relate to me getting a little too drunk while you watch your child.
That's
so
true.
I know that game.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is, I think it's super delicious. Like, I really enjoyed this wine when I had it before. A lot of acidity, a lot of bright red fruit. And you know, this really makes me want to have a backyard party. Like, I want to invite people over, and my husband makes like badass ribs.
Yeah.
I really want people to come over right now, and my husband to come home from work immediately.
Ben, are you listening?
Ben, are you listening?
I know this isn't live, but...
Ben, come home and make some fucking ribs right
now. I want some
now.
Ribs. Does he sauce or not sauce?
Depends. He does both. Okay. I want a saucy rib with this.
Yeah, this
though.
Is like a Kansas City style.
Yeah. For me, this is like such a backyard barbecue
wine. Yeah, totally.
Wine.
Okay. Licking sauce off your fingers.
Oh my God, yeah. And it does, again, like the orange Puglia, again, this does have like some like pillowy, nice tannins in the back that do make you crave like a little bit of food or something with it, which I love. Like, I want to see this in an ice bucket next to the ribs and the potato salad, and I want to be drinking it all day.
And that six-pack of Blue Moon somebody brought for some reason.
You know what?
Or Shock Top or whatever. Somebody.
It'll get drank. I'm not mad.
No, no, no. I'm just saying, like, this lives...
in the world. It lives in the backyard.
Kind of, yeah.
Like, I think... I forget what song it's on. Is it on Still Dre or Forgot About Dre from 2001?
I don't know what song you're talking about.
Where he talks about how now every day they're like barbecues every day, driving fancy cars.
I think that's from Chronic 2001.
Yeah, but the song I'm talking about, I forget if it's like from Still Dre or Forgot About. I think it's from Still Dre. Anyways.
Yeah.
Right.
Or I was also thinking Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff.
Yeah.
Summer, summer, summer. Summertime.
Yeah, wow, like, we're really into music on this app.
I just feel like that, like, if that was playing on the stereo and you were drinking this wine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you would be so down. But I was going to, now I have to look it up. It's like having barbecues every day, driving fancy cars, something about not work.
Something about going to the Century Club?
No, because he's talking about just being in his backyard and not having to worry anymore. Dr. Dre, man, on 2001. And this is, I think
this is top-notch potting, guys.
God damn it.
Welcome back. I was going to sing Welcome Back, the Mace version. The Welcome Back Cotter version.
No, it's from Still Dre off of Chronic 2001. That's, it reminds me of, the thing where he's saying, hit my boys off with jobs, no more living hard, barbecues every day, driving fancy cars. I feel like I could have brought this wine to that barbecue.
Totally.
And they'd be into it.
Everyone would be into it.
Everyone would be into it.
From your grandmother, to your neighbor, to your cousin, to your best friend, to...
Also,
what's her name on the Lake Havasu?
Lindsay O'Brien.
Lindsay O'Brien loves this wine.
Yeah. And also too, like, not just like ribs. I think it'd go great with like barbecue chicken. Again, still, I mean, on the
something
sauce.
Saucy. You got to have some saucy. Sauce. Something saucy.
You want something saucy,
yeah,
dude.
Or, oh man, my friend, I have a secret.
Your friend, little, I wanted
no,
to
I have
be
a secret
rapper.
Obsession with jalapeno poppers.
Oh my God, we do too.
And my friend bought on Amazon, it's a grilled jalapeno popper kit. So you're not deep,
you've told
you're
me
not,
about
you're
this.
Not breading them and deep frying them. You hollow out the jalapenos, you fill them with the bacon and the cheese and everything, and you put them on the grill and you grill them.
That's what Ben does.
Oh my God.
I mean, he just does it by hand though. And but, no one cared. This is
no, but they're life changing. They're life changing.
Jalapeno poppers in general are life changing. I love this.
This wine and some jalapeno poppers and some fucking
honestly
ribs.
Yes,
and some,
yes, yes,
I'm
yes.
All
jalapeno
in. Maybe even
poppers.
Some like salmon with barbecue sauce on it. Have you ever had barbecue sauce with salmon?
No, I mean, yes, I'm
or
sure.
Like teriyaki salmon.
Mm, yeah, yeah. I have.
I'm all about it.
Yeah. I think this is more of definitely like a meatier wine. It's not a veggie, like as veggie.
No, you don't necessarily want to have like your watermelon and burrata salad.
No. This is more about like the meats out there. I'm or, you know, your fave meat substitute.
Yeah.
Maybe you make a killer portobello guy. I think that would be fun.
Oh, yeah, totally. That like a portobello burger or like an impossible burger or something.
Yeah, something, you know, it would go with it. I just want it to be like saucy and meaty. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah, I agree.
And I want, again, like with the licking of the fingers, like I want to be like kind of like sticky in like a non-sexual or maybe a sexual way while drinking this wine.
Yeah, you want to jump in the pool afterwards or jump in the ocean or the river afterwards and like
so basically
clean
all
yourself
the wines,
off.
All the wines we're drinking today are just like, we just love it at the beach and in the backyard. But the cool-
You can't see, but we're both wearing zinc oxide on our nose. We both totally. Have I have like a neon one and Marissa
And
has-
I have one of those big reflectors that's just like all foil.
Like in Bosom Buddies?
I don't know what that is, but-
You don't know Bosom Buddies?
Nope.
The television show with Tom Hanks where he dresses up as a woman to live in an all-women's housing? Never mind.
I kind of know what you're talking about, but anyways, that's beside the point. Talking about, though, stylistically, Tom Hanks, no, stylistically.
This is the Tom Hanks of wine. Sorry.
I don't know about that. That's a different pod. That needs a whole other pod because Tom Hanks has mad layers. Anyways, what I was going to say, though, is that stylistically, not as a Tom Hanks wine, but stylistically as, you know, chilled reds go. They're so great for summer because of that reason, though. Like, they're great for being around the grill, especially, like, I love chilled reds. Like, you know, when the grill has been lit for maybe, you know, a half hour and the sun's starting to go down and, like, a breeze might be starting to come in and you want something that's, like, cold because it's so hot because it's fucking summer, but like at the same time, like the temperature's kind of lowering, so you're like into something that's
a transitional
bit,
wine.
Yeah, it's like I think it's just like a really good sunset. Like, I mean, you could have it all day. Like, I would be happy to have this at
yeah,
noon.
No, but I totally get the vibes you're throwing.
It's
out.
Like it's like I want this around a fire pit. I want this around the bar, like around the grill. I want this like at dusk and into the evening.
Yeah, I don't smoke weed, but I can imagine this is like, maybe we spark up a joint and people like pass around a joint and like start to drink this wine. It's like, take it down. We're like,
what's funny is that when I drank this last time, that's exactly what we did.
Yeah.
And it was great. And it was nice. And you know what? Actually, this is to go on that vibe. This is a great smoking weed wine.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
Because I'm not really into mixing the two. A lot of people are always like, well, what wine do you like to, like, what wine do you like to smoke weed with? And I'm not really into, I don't really like smoking and drinking that much. It's like, I have to be in a particular mood and it's all about the stacking, you know? It's like, you kind of have to smoke first, then drink, and then smoke, and then drink, versus like drinking and then smoking. Then
that's always a recipe. That's like Vomit City.
Dude, twice a year, I smoke the bong coming home after a long night of drinking and I really am like, wow, this is the worst idea. But this wine with a joint at dusk, like in your backyard or wherever you are, somewhere outside, or I guess in your living room if you wanted to, like, I say that this wine is...
If you're a monster and you smoke inside.
Yeah, I mean, we smoke inside.
Monsters.
Monsters, absolute monsters. We don't smoke joints inside. Anyway, it doesn't matter. This wine and like chilled reds in general, I think are great for just for barbecue. For joints and for dusk till dawn, motherfuckers.
Yeah, and just
the movie. No, I'm just
kidding. It's just like an enjoyable. These are all these wines. Like, I'm really pleased with how enjoyable so far these two have been.
Yeah, these have been super, super yummy.
Like we've like struggled to stop drinking them and move on to the next one so far.
Yeah, which I guess, I guess it's time to just chug the rest of this glass and move on.
And we're moving on to...
But wait, here's how... Let's listen to how easy this wine goes down.
Hearst Ranch is a proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. The Hearst family has been raising cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of California's Central Coast for over 150 years. Piedra Blanca Rancho in San Simeon is the original Hearst Ranch, founded by George Hearst in 1865. George's son was the famous publisher William Randolph Hearst. In addition to being known for building the iconic Hearst Castle, William was, like his father before him, an avid rancher. In his words, "I would rather spend a month at the ranch than any place in the world." Thanks to one of the largest land conservation easements in California history, a joint effort with the California Rangeland Trust, the American Land Conservancy, and the state of California, the working landscape at Hearst Ranch will be preserved forever. Learn more about Hearst Ranch at HearstRanch.com.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. My name is Andrew Friedman, and I'm the host of Andrew Talks to Chefs here on HRN. Every week, I interview a diverse cross-section of the best and biggest names in professional cooking. Give a listen and get to know all about the inner lives of chefs. You can find Andrew Talks to Chefs wherever you listen to podcasts and on heritageradionetwork.org.
So I will describe, there was probably at least an ounce and a half, if not 2 ounces in there.
Yeah, and that just all went down.
Yeah, that was...
Without a problem. That was delicious.
So now on to wine three.
Yeah, which obviously we're going to have a great review of. All right, and for our third wine, we have the Corcaminos Rosé 100% Tempranillo from Microbio in Spain.
Yeah, the Rueda.
From Rueda.
Rueda.
Yeah. Which is really exciting because I visited Rueda on like a press trip. It was like the first time I ever got offered like a trip to go somewhere. And then I went to Rueda and it was like all commercial stuff. So it's really exciting to see, you know, exciting wines coming out of that region. We chose it though because of rosé season.
Hashtag rosé all day. I love rosé. I have rosé themed t-shirts / placards hanging in my house.
No, but you know, the thing is like, even though as much as I hate like the insane marketing of rosé season, and also like doesn't exist here in LA, but this is like, the truth is that rosé is great during the summer.
It's fucking delicious.
Yeah, it's delicious. As much as
and
I
it
hate
it, deserves that.
It deserves it. I just hate the way that it's been commoditized.
Some, and also, like, do you ever get this where like some people who like find out that they're like, oh, Marissa is into wine or like does wine stuff, and then like that person's like their only connection is to like this sort of. Marketed things, and they're like, oh my god, Marissa, what, how much do you love grocery store rosé? And you're like, okay. Oof.
Let me turn you on to something else, which is what we're drinking today, which is awesome. It's like I said, I think I announced it already, but yeah, Ishmael Gonzalo,
yes,
yeah, from Microbio. This is his Tempranillo Rosé. On like the looks of it, holy moly, it's just this beautiful cloudy raspberry. Like if there was like a raspberry gummy worm, I feel like this is like what it would look like.
Totally. It's got a gummy. It looks gummy. It looks like it's almost.
It's
like,
cloudy.
Well, yeah. And it's got like this quality.
You don't say gummy because then that makes it sound like it's like chunky or something.
No, it's not chunky, but it's definitely.
No one wants any wine that's chunky.
Not too chunky.
Not too chunky. Just
chunky enough.
Although we're fine with chunky other stuff.
What?
I don't know, like soup or people. I don't know. Like, I don't want to be like a...
No,
like,
no, as a... Yes, no, you're
not
fine.
Not milk and wine, like, you know.
No,
those
are two things you don't want too chunky.
No, definitely not.
Texture and... You don't want too much texture in your milk.
No, I just don't want milk in general. But it's
yeah,
just
it's
cloudy.
Got, like,
it's
yeah.
cloudy is all we're saying.
It's
cloudy.
Very cloudy. And it like gives it like a certain look that's almost like matte.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. Like it's a gorgeous deep like raspberry with a tinge of orange.
Definitely so
it's like,
wine you want to take a picture of.
Oh my god, yeah. Like in the sun, this shit looks like neon like coral. It's absolutely gorgeous. So on the nose is light and kind of spritzy feeling, you know, like it kind of like tickles your nose hairs.
Yeah, totally. I mean,
I think I would say
VA.
Yeah, the VA is definitely coming in, but like not in a bad way, like in a good way, like in a.
But it's kind of like, pineapple lifesaver or like.
It's pineapple and like raspberry. And it
smells like a cocktail.
Yeah. Let's look at the alcohol. Let's look at the alcohol percentage on this guy before I start chugging away.
Yeah, chugging
it. Even though I've drank, this is probably my third bottle of this stuff. I love it. This is 12%.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's awesome. Also, Corcaminos means roadrunners.
Beep, beep.
And I'm basically the coyote that's always going to be chasing it. So super delicious smelling on the nose. Just like really inviting.
Just like
grapefruity too.
Total citrus.
Total citrus, pineapple, yum. All right, let's drink it.
It's electric. It's just
absolutely
electric.
Electric, which is why like Adam had a great idea at the beginning because we both had this wine. He's like, you know, in the order of things, this kind of needs to be last because the acidity and the hit of VA on it is like so like electric. It's like a fucking lightning bolt to your fucking mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that you talked about licking a 9-volt battery.
This is licking Thor's hammer.
Wow. I
just saw Endgame, so that's like, you know, that's
I think
that head.
There's a lot of ladies out there that are like, you know what? That's a blowjob I'd be into.
Licking Thor's hammer. This wine is licking Thor's hammer. This wine, to use an analogy to more summer related, is from the jacuzzi to the pool for sure.
100%. It's definitely when you've been in the jacuzzi and everyone's like, no, you go.
Yeah.
No, you go. The polar bear club.
Yeah.
You're like, no, you go. And then you like jump in and
it's freezing. Even though it's like an 80 degree pool, it's 100 degrees out. It's freezing.
Yeah. It's so cold and so refreshing and so delicious. I mean, you not only is there like just this huge electric shock of acidity with a good dose of VA to it, but it's heightened like because of all of that. Sorry, that chugging of the Le Sauté de l'Ange might have been not the best vibe. But whatever, it's summer somewhere. Lots of raspberry.
Raspberry lemonade.
Yeah. Like very just, it's fucking kind of perfect.
Do you know Hot Dog on a Stick?
I do know all about hot dogs.
So
on sticks.
There's a hot dog on a stick it's like Santa Monica.
I didn't know that they were still around.
Oh, yeah. The original one
was
a stand next to the Santa Monica Pier.
I always had a lot of respect for the outfits.
Oh, man. I mean, they never changed them. Speaking about Beach Banquet Bingo.
Beach Banquet Bingo. says the child that I co-host this podcast with.
Me so hungry. No, like their outfits and everything, like they never changed that. Like,
no,
it's
they're
a very
sick.
Like retro 60s.
Absolutely, and I'm obsessed with.
But anyway, they do a raspberry lemonade.
They do.
That is,
that's this with alcohol. Oh man, yeah, this. I do think though that there is like a big a spike of grapefruit in there.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I think that this wine is going through a little bit of secondary fermentation.
Yes, so there's a little bit of spritz.
So when a wine is going through secondary fermentation, for those of you guys that don't know about that, that's basically when the wine in the bottle, this happens with natural wines sometimes, basically the yeast hasn't eaten all of the sugar.
There was a little bit of sugar left.
Yeah, there was more sugar left in the bottle. So it's kind of re-fermenting, which gives it this kind of like spritz. It's not bubbly, but it does give it a spritzy texture.
Yeah,
like
totally.
It's and you know, some people could see that as a flaw. I love it.
Yeah, especially in this wine.
In this wine, this is so perfect because it gives it just like it. You know what? It gives it this Pop Rocks kind of vibe. So it's like this grapefruit, raspberry, lemonade, Pop Rocks, taste that is just fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
And because it does, because it is Tempranillo, it does have some weight on it. I think. I mean. But aside from the malolactics, you know, this kind of goes back to the Orange Pulio wine. This is a wine you really can drink all day with everything. Like you could, like, instead of having to pair wines with like, if you're like, oh no, like, I mean, I don't know who's doing this for like, for whatever, but like, if you're like, I don't know what's going to pair with my guacamole and with my cheeseburgers later. Oh, what am I going to do? Like, how am I going to pick out 6 different wines? They're like, of course, throughout my barbecue. I would say just like buy 6 bottles of this. And like anyone that doesn't want to drink 6 bottles of this with you can go fuck themselves.
Kick them out of your barbecue.
Yeah, they're done. No, let them drink the fucking Blue Moons that asshole brought over. And you get to enjoy all these wines. Because I'm telling you that I've bought 4 bottles of this wine already. I love this wine. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and it's definitely it's a little bit. This is definitely expert level. A little bit. This is not
know if it's expert level. I think anyone that just enjoys natural wine would enjoy.
No, but I'm just saying, like, because we were talking earlier, maybe like this might not be
it's
like
not for.
It's not every palate.
It's not every palate.
But if you're into this, you're way.
I just don't think you need to be an expert. I think that that's like
You just have to be adventurous.
You have to just be adventure. Like you have to be into like
just like lick Thor's hammer sometimes.
Just yeah. You know,
every once in a while, you're just like, you know what? That Chris Hemsworth.
I think a lot of people are not sometimes. They're like, all the time, I want to lick Thor's hammer.
I like that hammer.
I'm saying. It's not,
but Stormbreaker. I mean, really, Stormbreaker's the.
I haven't seen any of the movies, so I don't know. But the
Stormbreaker's the axe.
Never mind. Okay. It doesn't matter. That's beside the point. The point is that, you know, this wine is, it's. If you are the kind of person that uses the word funky in a positive way, which is a whole other podcast, and we're not going to get into all that now, you'll like this wine. It's not too funky, though, to serve to other people. I think that it's something that you can still serve to other people, but because of the heightened acidity and because of the VA, it might not please every palate in the way that the other two did.
And a little bit of spritziness.
But for me, this is...
Yeah.
Beautiful. The VA is very well integrated. I think that it does, like, the Tempranillo, like, has this wonderful weight on it. Great tannin on the, like, not a lot of tannin, but just not great isn't a lot, but as in, like, there is a very little but wonderful, perfect amount of tannin in the back that makes me also want to eat with it. Like, I kind of want one of those, like, watermelon. Like watermelon and feta again. Like,
totally. This like, is like, yeah, totally.
Like I know that we talked about that with the orange Puglia, but like that one goes with like the stuff with the clementines and like the sunflower seeds. To me, this goes with watermelon feta or like, you know, that sort of vibe. And I know we've talked about cheeseburgers before, but like, fuck, I want a cheeseburger.
See,
with
this is for me, this is hot dog wine.
Or hot dog. Like, this I just want it.
This is like a hot dog with like mustard, ketchup, relish, onions, like classic.
I just want to take this like Thor's hammer.
All day, all night,
give me Thor's hammer.
Just lick it. Just lick Thor's hammer.
I don't
hammer.
Even like blondes with long hair, but I'm like, okay, Thor, maybe.
Have you seen the first one? Did you see the original Thor?
I haven't seen any of them.
They bleach his eyebrows and his beard, so he looks really weird. He almost looks like an albino in it. It's really bizarre. If anybody's out there, I'm sure there's people out there. The first Thor, Chris Hemsworth looks weird as fuck.
Okay, well, this
bleached
wine
bleached eyebrows. It's weird. It's a weird look.
Okay, well, this wine does not have bleached eyebrows.
Not Thor 1. This is
this is
Infinity Stone. Cool. Thor.
I don't know what that even. Again, I don't know what this any of that means.
This is like post Ragnarok.
Okay. I'm just like, Chris Hemsworth is like not my type, but
we could like cut his hair shorter and like,
you
yeah.
know, I mean, not like, you know, I'm not saying
I used to be like Chris Pratt, but no, I think Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Pratt is a Christian.
Okay. So we've been tasting a lot
anyways,
of wine.
We've been tasting a lot of wines. So anyways, we think that, so the Corcaminos, though, is like, we both have like loved this wine so much over the last couple weeks. Like we've drank a bottle of it together. I know that we've drank bottles of it separately.
Yeah.
It's a really, really fun wine that like, yes, goes great in the backyard. Great. Like I want to drink this everywhere. The beach, the park,
yeah,
everywhere. Give it to me. Stylistically, you know, a darker rosé, like, Even like a risotto, something that just does have a little bit more skin contact. A lot of people are afraid of darker rosés, thinking that that means that they're sweeter. Because even as a wine writer, like I've given that tip: if like you're at the grocery store, don't get a darker rosé
because they're sweeter.
Because those
is it like a white Zinfandel thing?
Yeah, I think stylistically though, this is, you know, this darker rosé is perfect for summer. A lot of times, and I'm guilty of this too as a wine writer, where we kind of stay away from darker rosés. Like, and like I said, I'm guilty of telling people to stay away from darker rosés in grocery stores, because usually that does indicate a certain level of ripeness and sweetness. But that's only because I was like talking about conventional, like commercial wines, you know, you don't want the neon pink bear cake. you know, like white Zinfandel or whatever.
Yeah.
But with this type of wine that, you know, this rosé, this 100% Tempranillo, it's not it's super acidic. It's beautiful. It's light, but then it still has that body that really goes well with food still. And it makes it a super versatile wine that lasts all day.
Yeah, no, this is definitely like if I had a cooler full of these and I was like legit just like hanging out all day by some sort of body of water. And I
or just hanging out like at my, like, I feel like we drank a bottle of this just at my dining room table like a week
that's
ago.
True. That's true. Yeah. If he was just like, I'm just chilling. I'm just fucking chilling.
Yeah. And the moral of the story that I kind of want to say about this is like, don't be afraid of darker rosés, especially in the natural wine world. Like,
yeah.
You know, there are so many great rosados like from Italy and like this shows like a 100% Tempranillo. And Tempranillo is not necessarily a red wine that I would have as a go-to, you know, it's not something that I would like if I
you
have a Tempranillo. No, I mean, like I like Tempranillo, but like it's something I more or less like want to pair with other things. It's not like as like, it's not as glue. It's not as like every day. It's not as like, you know, whatever, because I'm usually drinking without eating. I'm usually reviewing wines on their own. But these types of rosés that do have a bit more body, they have a bit more color. It doesn't mean that they're sweet. Like this is not sweet at all. Like,
no, this is the opposite of sweet.
This is for all y'all that like burnt your fucking tongues on warheads like I did my whole life. Yeah. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
But rosé in general, and I think particularly the darker rosés are just absolutely great for all day drinking and then to also go with food.
Yeah. No, this, and I think this brings us sort of back to all three of the wines.
Yeah. Which we like, kind of didn't mean for them to all be
these like,
so what's funny about this is that I don't think that we meant for all of these wines to kind of fit the same bill.
No, I think that we thought we're going to have an orange or skin contact white. We're going to have a chillable red, we're gonna have a rosé, and those would all sort of I think initially when we thought of this pot, it was like those would course out through the day. So it'd be like you start with the skin contact, you go to this, you go to that, and I think we kind of.
But what's funny is like, you know, like Adam brought the orange Puglia and the Malolactics. I had the Quarto Caminos, and like what's cool in a way is that even though we didn't mean it to have kind of like, I hope it didn't come off repetitive. We didn't mean for it to be that these wines are all really good wines that happen to be like a whole day and night wine.
Yeah, you know? All day drinking wines.
I mean, I guess
wines.
The Malolactics we decided is like more of a night wine, but like these wines are, I think what makes summer wines is if you can drink them all day and all night.
Yeah, totally. I think that is exactly, I think that's, it's pretty much exactly what makes a summer wine.
And it's like instead of buying a 30 rack, you buy 6 bottles of one fucking wine and that's what you have.
Yeah.
And like maybe that sounds boring, but right now like we're drinking, or for example, like if we had, you know, if I bought 2 of the Orange Puglia, 2 of the Malolactics, 2 of the Quarto Caminos, and those were drank throughout the day. However, they happen to be open.
You could have all 3 of them open at once.
Exactly.
To be honest.
And you'd be extremely happy. And I think that, you know, it's Adam and I, like I said, we didn't come in planning for all of them to have these sort of like this narrative. We thought that it'd be different, but I actually love that it's like, no, what makes summer wines is that they're fucking summer wines. And like the point of summer, whether or not you can actually do it or not, like when you think about summer, when you think about that feeling, when you think about that season and place, it's about having fun 24/7.
Yeah. No. Yeah. The philosophy is like, I think that even though, you know, I've been out of school for almost 20 years.
Totally.
It's still like, there's still this aspect of like summer vacation.
No, exactly. Because like, so I was literally just writing about this where it's like summer is summer is a place in your mind where there's no day jobs. There's no domestic issues. There's nothing except these beautiful, hazy Polaroid memories of like beautiful greens and blues and sunsets. Like, and that's what all of these wines are, like just good wines to have with your friends to enjoy outside. Like you want to drink these outside. And if you drink them inside, they just make you really excited to eventually go out.
Totally. Totally. In some ways, I don't know, but not really speaking from experience, but let's hypothetically say that you were like in during the winter and you drank one of these wines. I'd hope it would transport you.
Yeah.
To some place where you were like, I'm in a fucking summer
place. Well, no,
place.
I think it could because, I mean, it's like, I mean, we're recording this in May. It's still been cloudy the last couple of days, you know, and we've been able to, like, I've drank this Corcaminos and it made me so fucking happy.
Yeah.
You know, like it was cloudy out, but it made me so fucking happy and excited and like reminded me of like what I have to look forward to because like we don't get a lot of rain here in LA in the last, you know, like decade.
It's been a
super wet season, which I've been really enjoying as you know, like because we don't get it very often. But drinking this wine, I was like, oh shit, like I miss being outside. I miss summer and it's really exciting to be able to drink wines that are that.
No, agreed. Agreed. So yeah, summer wines,
cherries, and an angel's kiss.
You know what?
Spring.
Coming into this, I totally thought it was going to be summer. What's the song for
summer
Greece?
Summer days and you're slipping away.
Yeah.
That's summer nights.
That to me is a summer wines. Summer wines. I can't sing, so I'm not going to. And
I can't
know the
sing
song.
Either. But but there's an actual song called Summer Wine, and it's great.
Yeah. So like summer wines are just like. I think it's weird. It's weird that this, because this episode was supposed to be so, not superficial, but we were like, all right, we're just going to review like summer wines. And now it's like getting into this like philosophical place where I'm like, summer wines, they've been inside you all along. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Summer wines are not necessarily.
But is that just because we're Southern California kids?
I don't know.
Because I feel like.
Or is
like,
it because we've been drinking?
It could be both.
Because, are we just emotional?
But yeah. Well, no, but like I'm thinking like, oh, like people that live in colder climates, that could be like. You know, whatever. I don't even know because I hate drink. Like working in print, like I work for Bon Appetit. I have to start working on the, you know, the print issues like way, way ahead of time. So it's like I have to start drinking like these huge, heavy wines.
Right in
July.
Summer. Right,
and it's a nightmare for me. But I'm sure that there's people that are like, oh my god, I fucking love the biggest Malbec of all time because it makes me think of my favorite fucking fuzzy sweaters. You know, whereas like we don't really have like that.
I don't know. I was going to say, I thought you were going to go like, people are like, I love drinking the biggest Malbec at barbecues, which I guess is also possible. Like there could be some people who are like, I want to chug fucking 16% alcohol at 100-degree weather in Palm Springs.
Because they want to go on the Bud Light boat with Lindsay O'Brien.
Yeah.
Cause that feels just like you're hot and hammered and definitely need to be able to like just get into water nonstop. But I think that it is like, I think all of this is so subjective and like maybe the reason, like I love the sentiment of you saying like summer wines were in us all along. Cause that's like, it's just very close to my heart. But I think that there's probably people out there that are like, well, wait a minute, there's winter wines. The winter wines are my thing. And so, you know, it kind of just goes back to this whole thing where like wine is super subjective.
I'm a fall wine guy.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. I'm a like, summer wine guy.
Yeah, we're both summer people. We're just like, we're Southern California people. But that's why this episode is so important because we know what the fuck we're talking about.
So anyway.
On that note.
Thanks for listening. Remember Heritage Radio.
We don't have to do that because it's going to cut to our ending.
Oh, we don't have to do it?
No, we put the ending on at the end. Remember?
But I like doing it.
Okay, well, we can still say goodbye.
Goodbye. All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/Heritage Radio Network. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.